Our text for this morning is Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. I was recently listening to a podcast that happened to feature Seth Godin, who is apparently an author, branding and marketing expert, and entrepreneur. Throughout the podcast, he kept repeating two questions that he felt that people creating content should always consider about their work. One, who's it for? And two, what is it for? Godin emphasized that these questions were especially key for those who are just beginning to share their work with the public. For example, if someone was creating a YouTube video or a podcast or working on a book idea, they should keep in mind their audience and their purpose. Those questions then would ideally keep people on track throughout the creative process and help them shape their product for their specific needs. Though his relentless returning to these questions eventually became almost annoying, I could see how his insistence on coming back to these basic ideas could be helpful for just beginning a creative endeavor. It also struck me, however, that these questions could also be particularly useful during the Lenten season as we meditate on Christ's suffering and death. So I'd like to take our time this morning to consider who Christ's death on the cross was for and what it was for. Who's it for? As our text points out, through the inherited sin of Adam, one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Because of Adam's sin, future humankind lost the perfect world of Eden for a world that is sinful, painful, difficult, and full of death. All humans to come would now be born sinful, unable to stand pure and holy before God. Furthermore, all humans that have been born have also committed sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who is Christ's death for? Through Christ's righteous act, his death and resurrection, the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life came to all men. Christ died for the whole world, which, of course, includes all of us. In other words, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. What a wonderful comfort this is. As we daily look at the sins we commit, how we fail again and again to love God with all our hearts, souls, and minds, and our neighbors as ourselves, it's the greatest relief to know that we are covered by Christ's sacrifice. This universal sacrifice is also important to keep in mind as we share this wonderful message with others. We may be quick to judge other people's sins as beyond help, but we need to remember that since Christ died for all, we have the privilege to bring the saving gospel to all people, no matter how good or bad we think they are. What is it for? The question of what Christ's death is for is deeply connected with who his death was for. Christ's death was the necessary sacrifice for the sins of the world. Since he is holy and righteous, God cannot brush aside or ignore sin. These sins needed to be paid for. Christ's death then is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins that all the Old Testament sacrifices look forward to. What makes Christ's sacrifice even more amazing goes back to who his sacrifice was for. Christ sacrificed himself for sinners, sinners like you and me, sinners who hated him. As we read a few verses before our text, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice to be the ultimate sacrifice. His words on the cross, "It is finished," reverberate just as strongly today as 2,000 years ago. Christ's work still remains finished. He has completed the sacrifice for us, and there is nothing we can do toward our salvation. Finally, we can rejoice that God has also brought together the what, Christ's atoning sacrifice, with the who, believers like us, by creating saving faith in our hearts. Not only has Christ died for the whole world, but the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, has brought us to believe that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we stand justified before God, thus receiving forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Since we were dead in trespasses and sins, it is only through the grace of God that we're able to believe in Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. And it's that very faith we ask to be strengthened so that we may continue to believe and to share this wonderful news with others. As we meditate upon Christ's suffering and death during this Lenten season, let's reflect upon the amazing thing that God has done for sinners. When we turn to the questions, who is it for and what is it for, when we turn these questions to our Savior's death, we can be assured that though we are human and sinful, in spite of that and because of that, God sent his Son to suffer and die for those sins and to win eternal life for us. Amen. We close with hymn 369, verses 1, 4, and 5. 369, 1, 4, and 5.